It's been nearly 12 months since this moment rounded off the last instalment of the TT races.
Here he comes, he wins the senior TT. Peter Hickman has it by 16.9 seconds.
How does this sound? Senior TT winner.
Sounds absolutely epic, doesn't it? No, I've just said on the TV then, just massive thank you to the Gas Monkey Garage by FHO Racing Team. They've done a fantastic job.
But race fans won't have much longer to wait as TT 2023 beckons in a few days' time. Last year was filled with mixed emotions. Whilst 2022 saw the much-anticipated return of the racing fortnight after a three-year absence, there was to be tragedy during the 2 weeks, as five competitors would lose their lives over those 14 days, with a sixth succumbing to injuries sustained during the event several months later in October last year. Those incidents, coupled with the ongoing battle to get racing on around some poor weather, saw organisers receive some criticism about the safety of the event, as well as the potential disruption caused to racing and the general public. After the 2022 races, clerk of the course Gary Thompson vowed he and organisers would do everything possible to continue to improve the safety measures in place and minimise disruption. So, does he feel they've been successful in that regard? What do organisers make of some of the comments they received 12 months ago? Well, I caught up with Mr. Thompson to find out more.
Myself and Paul Phillips, we've done a lot of work on the expansion of the race organisation. So the roles and responsibilities of the race organiser has been clearly defined and increased. You know, we've expanded the race organisation. That took place in the summer of last year. And you know, since then, you know, we've got Johnny Barton and Lizzie Kinvig. They've come on board as the two deputy clerks of the course. You know, there's been a distribution of responsibilities, and as such, the preparations this year has gone really, really well. I mean, obviously we had a bit of a hiccup a couple of weeks ago with a landslide at Waterworks 1, but again, that's testament to the work done by the DOI, who put in a tremendous effort. And, you know, obviously the landslide's been cleared away, and the road's been resurfaced there, and it's absolutely tremendous, looking really good.
You say of the other people coming in and part of the expansion of the team, you know, the distribution of responsibility, in your words, is what's being done. Why was that needed, distribution of more responsibility into different areas?
I think what it is, well, obviously last year at the TT, it was a pretty tough TT last year, obviously with what went on, you know, particularly with the two sidecar incidents. A really tough TT, and we're primarily a volunteer-based organisation, and being under that much pressure, that much stress for the two and a half, three weeks of the event, it's unsustainable over a long period of time. So we've brought in John, Lizzie and others to expand the race organisation, and it's basically not down now to one or two individuals. There are more individuals involved who can take on a spread of the responsibilities, share the workload, and which means everything that's done is looked at in more detail, and we provide a better service on behalf of the race organiser to deliver the races for the government.
Just on top of that then, what do you think people, fans I suppose, and you know, competitors and their teams, what will they notice with this distribution of responsibility? What more of an experience is it going to bring to them, both in terms of the essentials but also as part of, let's say, the spectator experience?
I don't think it's going to be noticeable, you know, externally. It just means that, you know, internally we you know, I've been able to delegate when you delegate.
Just on top of that then, like you say, externally people might not see a lot going on in particular that's obvious, but internally as well, in terms of the workings of how the TT fortnight works, what will it do to that? I mean, are we talking, is it going to help things run smoother from a schedule side of things or responses to certain things? What will it improve?
I mean, externally, people won't see a great deal of difference, but internally, it's allowed more of my time to be freed up so I can look at, you know, if you like, the bigger picture in more detail instead of reacting to crises as they appear, so to speak. So, for instance, you know, John Barton is now the deputy clerk of the course and also is the course inspection officer. So, we've got John Barton, 32 years as a TT competitor, just retired last year. you know, we've got somebody now with that 32 years of experience who's brought that experience as a rider to the course inspection role. He obviously he knows what it's like to ride the TT course, and he's working on a daily basis with the course contractor and with DOI, and advising, you know, what areas need resurfacing, where the course furniture needs to go, the course protection needs to go. But having somebody of that experience, that knowledge and of that quality is, you know, it's invaluable to the race organiser.
Just on top of that, like you mentioned, Johnny Barton there with huge amounts of TT experience over the years. When it comes to this event in itself, there are a lot of very respected figures within motorsport and how they run the events. But getting hold of people who actually know the TT specifically inside and out, how important is that for this particular event, that people see that the right people are involved and that the right people are making decisions?
Immensely important. I mean, from a rider's point of view, from their point of view, they all know John. They've all known John for a number of years. You know, he was a previous British Super Cup competitor. He's done world European endurance, number of high-level British national events, and obviously with his 32 years experience around the TT course. So to have somebody of that quality, of that experience involved with the TT, it's a big plus for the race organiser and can only instil confidence with the competitors.
Now, after TT last year, with the circumstances that played out, you yourself, you told us that, you know, as organisers, you would promise to take any action possible to improve TT safety. So do you honestly feel that you've done that for this year?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a particularly where the sidecars are concerned. You know, we've as an extra form of identification, we've insisted or following Lassius TT in readiness for Lassius 100. All sidecar drivers now have to wear elasticated armbands as another form of identification. There's going to be spot checks for all competitors in the assembly area before they go up onto the start line, before any practice qualification session or race, and that'll be a check of ID tags. And in addition to that, they now need to wear identification sewn into the leathers or attached to the leathers on the inside. That's all now in the regulations. Again, going back to the sidecars, you know, we've had pre-event MOT checks conducted by the technical director and the chief technical officer, and that's a far more stringent technical check of all sidecar outfits prior to the TT event itself. There's a number being done. There's a number still left to be done, but no sidecar outfit will be allowed to sign on. There is, you know, apart from going onto Glen Crutcher Road, they won't be allowed to sign on for the event until those pre-event MOT checks have taken place.
Now, of course, this year we have a busier race schedule. I think we've covered this a little bit before, but we'll have a look at it again now. But the busier race schedule, there's 10 races there. Honestly, how much leeway do you as organisers have if there are, say, significant delays and or disruption to the schedule, whether it's, say, weather or if we have incidents out on track, for example? Is there much in the way that you can adapt to situations?
Yeah, I mean, the new 10 race schedule It is obviously fantastic for the spectators that come to the island, but for the race organiser, it does give us a degree of flexibility as well. So, for example, as we know, the first free practice in Q1, qualifying one, will take place on Monday the 29th of May. So we've got a morning and afternoon session there. So that reduces the amount of evening sessions, obviously mindful of low sun and everything. So we've got a Tuesday night session, Wednesday night session, Thursday night session. And then we've got a final Friday afternoon session, Q5, on Friday afternoon. And the reason we've done the Friday afternoon session is to give teams and competitors who are competing on Saturday more time to prepare the bikes, prepare the machines, ready for Saturday's race, instead of finishing on a Friday night late and then having to work through the night possibly to get the machines ready. And then during race week, obviously we've got the Saturday and the Sunday. Monday's now a rest day, Thursday's now a rest day, but within the schedule we've cut down. In previous years we used to have a couple of races, a couple of practice sessions and all this sort of thing going on during the day. We've taken all that out now, so qualifying finishes after Q5 on the Friday afternoon, so there's no more practice and qualifying after that. So when we come to race days, it is a warm-up lap, which obviously we introduced last year, which all, you know, a lot of riders found very beneficial. And you know, it's always good to give the competitors a chance. It's not mandatory, but it gives the competitors a chance to have a look at the course, you know, before any race. So we've got the warm-up lap and two races, and that's it. So it just allows us to give the riders plenty of time to recuperate, rest and recuperate in between races. And for the general public, well, for everybody involved, officials, riders, spectators, everybody, with the shortened race day programme on each individual day, it just gives everybody a chance to get some downtime and to enjoy the whole TT festival rather than, you know, the racing itself.
I suppose another point I was trying to get at with there, particularly when we get to race week, for example, if there is disruption for whatever reason over 2 or 3 days, you might find yourself in a situation where some riders, for example, might feel aggrieved if, say, races get shortened hypothetically, or races even have to get called off altogether. You know, how do you get around that potential scenario where you as organisers come in for a bit of criticism on decisions you may have to make?
Well, I don't think that's really changed from what we've had in the past, really. I mean, going back to TT 219, we didn't turn a wheel for 5 days. We had to shorten races. And then on the Thursday, I think Thursday, 8th of June, I think it was, we had the, you know, the iconic 5 races in a day. You know. And then we threw in an end of evening 1 lap practice for the senior bikes before the race the next day. So there is the schedule, although it's you know, longer in terms of 2 races, there is still plenty of scope within the road closure order to get done what we want to get done. You know, plenty of flexibility in that schedule.
And from the residents' perspective, you mentioned there that part of the idea of having these races spread across more days, it lowers the amount of time that road closures are in place. But there will be some residents who look at that and say, yes, the session's shorter, but that's more days of road closures. So what would you say to them around that?
Really and truly, there's only probably 1 day extra, really, is the Saturday, the senior race day. You know, the race week starts on Saturday, the 3rd of June. We go 3rd of June, 4th of June, rest day on Monday, Tuesday race day, Wednesday race day, rest day Thursday, Friday in old TT terms would have been senior race day. That's now moved back, moved to the Saturday. So really and truly, every race day is shortened in length, and it just means 1 extra race day. So I don't think it's insurmountable. And given what, you know, the TT brings to the island, we've not had many complaints about it at all, to be honest.
Now, during the last race in Fortnite, you as organisers did come in for some criticism, sometimes online, for example, about some aspects of TT, whether it was the safety or the disruption to the schedule. So going into 2023's races, what would you say to those who have maybe had previous concerns about certain aspects of the TT?
We're always going to get complaints. I mean, not everybody is a TT fan. We do absolutely everything we can do to minimise disruption. But you know, the TT is the TT. We all know when the TT is. It's not as though the TT has been invented this year. It's been going for 116 years. So everybody knows when the TT is. You know, and obviously we do have issues with the weather. And you know, I always make decisions as early as possible to minimise the disruption to the public, to put the competitors at ease so they know what's going on, and to minimise the amount of time the marshals have to spend out on post. So, you know, we do everything we can in our power to minimise that disruption, but also to importantly put on the show for which is the TT.
And finally, just looking at yourself personally in the role as clerk of the course, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this is the 11th year you've been in the role of clerk of the course. So first off, in that time, that's obviously it's over a decade now. So what are the biggest changes you've seen in your role or had to overcome?
Well, the biggest change is how more professional the TT's become. I mean, and that's had to happen. And again, working very closely with Paul Phillips and the guys in the motorsport team, we strive to do that each year. You know, and you know, the Department for Enterprise through Paul produced the TT strategy document, which had 7 pillars, and included in that was promotion, marketing, sponsorship, safety. You know, a number of others, but everything put in place to sustain the TT in years to come. And you know what we've done since, you know, in, well, even before my 11 years, you know, each year we've done everything we can to try and improve that event bit by bit, bearing in mind there are budgetary constraints, you know, to consider. But every year, I think we've made the TT better each year as we've gone by.
Looking back over the 11 years in the role so far, is there anything you, looking back, would do differently?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, the two things I'm kind of remembered for at the moment is, you know, I was the first clerk of the course to cancel the TT Senior in 2012, and you know, I don't regret that. It was a decision made on safety reasons. And then on the other side of the coin, you know, TT 219, as because of inclement weather, we didn't turn a wheel for 5 days, and the TT finished on a high with 5 races in a day. You know, again, the first time that's been done in history. So, if you like, the high and the low, a high and a low. But no, there's not a decision I've made yet, I am obviously responsible for making all the decisions, but decisions made are normally in consultation with persons or individuals pertaining to whatever that decision is. So I know my name's on the paper at the end of the day, but you know, we will do everything we can and continue to do everything we can for the benefit of the TT.
Looking forwards, I mean, we've already spoken previously about the challenges that have been faced for road racing in Ireland, particularly around insurance matters. But not just that, but the fact that there has been, I suppose, growing criticism from some corners of the TT, the safety and the risk aspect and all that besides. Do you have any concerns about the future of the TT after 2023, whether it's the year after that or several years beyond?
No, I think you know, the TT is unique. It's for me, you know, obviously, you know, I head up the race organisation, but for me, the TT is the greatest motorsport event in the world. It's unique. There's no other event like it. And you know, with the bunch of people I work with, the race officials, obviously the guys in the DfE, you know, looking at every component that comes together to put the TT on, I think it's got a very bright future. And as I said earlier, you know, Paul and his team put together the TT strategy paper a couple of years ago to sustain the TT in years to come, and I think it's got a very bright future indeed.
Thank you for having the stamina to make it to the end of the Manx Radio Sportscast. You're clearly someone who has their eye on the ball at all times. Want to hear more about the latest sporting news across the Isle of Man and much more? Then might I recommend you take the plunge and subscribe to this series or a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so that, in a flash, all of our finest moments take a winner's place on your smartphone. Thank you.